Well, when you're in the middle of a catastrophic event, your business is probably going down. That's not the best time to sell your business. The best time to sell your business is when you're in the prime of your business. You know, there's different stages that businesses go through, and the best time is in your prime. But business owners just don't think about it. Therefore, by the time they do think about it, by the time a catastrophic event has occurred, they haven't built a business that anybody really wants to buy. Because most business owners have what I call a glorified job.
Welcome to today's edition of Transition Guide. Joining me today is Michelle Sylataka, author of Exit Rich. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
No, it's great. And you're the second person that we're actually doing remotely now. So I'm quite excited that the first one worked out well. So I'm looking forward to the second one. And what I'm really looking forward to is actually Exit Rich, because that is one of the things that most business owners, they fail to think about. Most business owners get into business with the sole reason of thinking, yeah, I'm going to create this fantastic life. I'm going to create a life that is going to be my absolute dream, but they forget the end in mind, never plan their exit. And as your book says, exit rich, the majority of people exit poor. So my first question to you is, what gave you the inspiration for Exit Rich?
So I've been in this industry for about 20 years. My company and I personally have sold over 500 businesses. My company has sold over 1,000. But we've done thousands of evaluations. We've met with thousands of clients. So we've been in the trenches for the last 20 years. And I've seen so many business owners exiting poor. And I wrote my very first book in 2013 called Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth. And when I did the research for that book, you know, I noticed that 95% of startups, 1 to 5 years, would go out of business. But over the last several years, I've been noticing that businesses are closing down. You know, you drive past a strip center, one day a business is there, next week it's not. And that's all over the United States. So when I wrote Exit Rich, I wanted to write a book that wasn't just about selling your company, but actually building a sellable asset, actually building a sustainable, scalable business. So when you are ready, you actually have, you know, a sellable business, because so many businesses are not sellable for a multitude of reasons. Like Steve Forbes, who endorsed Exit Rich, says 8 out of 10 businesses won't sell. So when I wrote Exit Rich in 2020, I found out that the business landscape has changed dramatically. It's actually flip-flop, Peter. So it used to be 95% of startups will go out of business. Now it's only 30%. Only 30% of startups are at risk of going out of business. That's great news to Startup Nation, to startup entrepreneurs around the world, really, especially around the USA. But here's the startling statistic. Out of 27.6 million companies, now let me put this in perspective. There are 30.2 million businesses in the United States, employing over half the U.S. workforce. Small business is the backbone of our economy. Out of the 27.6 million businesses, those businesses that have been in business 10 years or longer, 70% of those businesses are going out of business. 70. It is flip-flop. There used to be startups were at great risk. And it used to be, gosh, if you can make it past that five-year mark or that six-year mark, you're golden. Not anymore. You hear about the big private companies going out of business. Toys R Us in business 75 years, out of business. Kmart, out of business. Steinmark, Pier 1. Godiva, our very favorite chocolate, Peter, is going out of business. Godiva is closing down 1,500 locations. So that's the bit. That's the public companies. What about all the private businesses on every street corner in every state, in every town, in every state across America? These businesses are dropping like flies. And unfortunately, many of these business owners are selling for pennies on a dollar, closing their business, or even worse, filing bankruptcy. And in the United States, when you file bankruptcy, you don't just typically lose your business assets, you lose your family assets too, because most business owners commingle their assets.
Right.
Because they take out a personal, they sign personal guarantees, or they take out a mortgage against their home. And so that's why I wrote Exit Rich, because it breaks my heart. I'm an entrepreneur. I've owned many different businesses. I specialize in buying, selling, fixing, growing companies. At any given time, I own 5 to 10 companies I'm building to sell. It breaks my heart that these business owners pour their heart, their soul, their life, their energy, their money. They make huge sacrifices along the way. You know this. In which to keep their business afloat, to only end up with nothing at the end. That just breaks my heart. So it's really my mission, my passion to help save, you know, as many business owners as I possibly can. And that's what inspired me to write Exit Rich with Sharon Lecter, by the way. And Sharon Lecter is my co-author, who you love and adore. And Sharon Lecter wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad with Robert Kiyosaki. She's a 5-time New York Times bestselling author, plus she's written several books in Napoleon Hill Foundation. She is a CPA, a financial literacy expert, the advisor to many different presidents, including President Obama. So I couldn't think of a better co-author than Sharon Lecter.
No, you're absolutely right. You obviously have got a passion for helping people sort of get the exit, get the best exit they possibly can. What do you think the biggest mistakes most entrepreneurs make that actually lends themselves to go down the pathway where their business is never sellable?
Yeah, so that's probably going to be my next book, The Biggest Mistakes Business Owners Make. But there's so many, but I would say the biggest is that business owners don't think of their business as a true asset. They're emotionally attached to their business, and they refer to their business as their baby. Well, that's the wrong mindset. And most business owners don't really think of even selling their business. They don't plan their exit strategy until a catastrophic event occurs. Internal could be health issues, divorce, partner disputes, death. External, COVID is a perfect example. And they don't think about selling their business until one of these catastrophic events occur. Well, when you're in the middle of a catastrophic event, your business is probably going down. That's not the best time to sell your business. The best time to sell your business is when you're in the prime of your business. You know, there's different stages that businesses go through, and the best time is in your prime. But business owners just don't think about it. Therefore, by the time they do think about it, by the time a catastrophic event has occurred, they haven't built a business that anybody really wants to buy. Because most business owners have what I call a glorified job.
Do you know what? That's so true. And we're about to see that happen, probably in the UK, but probably in the US as well, where the economy has been so artificially held together by government stimulus, loans, deferment on taxation and other bills. That's all now coming to an end. All these sort of huge support packages are slowly being wound down. And it is going to be the point where these companies that haven't really thought about exit are going to be exiting, probably either for nothing or for next to nothing after decades and decades and decades of hard work.
Yes, it's really sad. And when I gave you those statistics earlier about 70% of businesses going out of business, that's actually before COVID. Those numbers are before COVID. And now we have, you know, 10,000 restaurants closing in the next week, plus there's going to be even more than that. And the biggest issue is that business owners, one of the biggest issues why business owners can't survive this pandemic is because all their eggs are in one basket. You know, they have one restaurant or they have one business. You know, they're not diversified. They're not diversified. They don't have multiple congruent revenue streams. They don't have enough working capital to weather the financial storms. And that's why they get in trouble. Most business owners have maybe 30 to 60 days max of working capital to keep their business afloat. You need to have at least a year of working capital to keep your business afloat. And you really should be diversified in you know, maybe you have one business, but maybe you have different revenue streams. So of a few revenue streams, like let's say you have brick and mortar, but you also have internet. you also have e-commerce. You know, that's two different revenue streams. So if brick and mortar goes down, you have the e-commerce piece that can keep your business alive. Does that make sense? Well,
what's fascinating, when we first went into lockdown, I mean, whether it was the UK or the US, the loans that was given out were astronomical. They were huge. Companies were getting hold of a lot of money. And what really surprises me, how fewer businesses transitioned from bricks and mortar to online in that period. It was like they expected the lockdown to only last 3 months. I don't think they planned for the fact that it could have gone on for a year. And basically, as you say about runway, the longer they left it, as we went back into the second lockdown, that runway just disappeared.
Right. And now we're in the third lockdown in the U.S. And that's right. The runway just disappears. So you really have to not only, you know, have enough money to weather the storm, but you got to pivot. You got to think of, okay, if I'm brick and mortar, if I'm a restaurant, what can I do differently? You know, how do I pivot? How you can't do business the way you've always done, because consumers are not purchasing the way they always have. So you have to change things. You have to pivot. You have to do things differently. And I've seen many restaurants step up and get really, really creative. And there's one restaurant here, specifically in New Orleans, when everything was closed, they're like, okay, well, what do we do? You know, what business are we in? And these are three transformational questions I encourage every business owner to ask themselves. What business are we in? And this is Commander's Palace, and Commander's Palace was voted, you know, number one restaurant in the world many years in a row. And I said, what business are we in? And I said, we're in the restaurant business. And they're like, no, we're not in a restaurant business. We're in a connecting business. We connect people. We create happiness. We create experiences. We're in the experience business, not the restaurant business. We're in the experience business. You can't go to Commander's and get out of there for less than 2 hours. So you're not going there just to get some food. You're in there for the experience. And I said, well, what do we do really, really well? And they said, well, you know, we create experiences. That's what we're known around the world for. What should we do next? And they said, gosh, you know, people can't come to us, but we can go to them. So they started this wine and cheese club with a sommelier, and they would sell packages anywhere from $100 to $500, and they would deliver it to your doorstep, and they would go on Zoom, and they would have a wine and cheese experience. And they did this all over the world, and if they couldn't deliver products to you, and you could go and buy similar wine and cheese at your local store, wherever you are. There were people on there from Paris and people on there from New York and all over, and you could join for free. So they were still making money. They were still staying relevant. They were creating experiences and connecting people. You know, I had another restaurant where a chef says, okay, well, what do we do? And the chef's like, we're like really, really, really good at recipes and cooking and teaching people how to cook. So instead of people coming to them, they said, okay, we'll deliver a box to your door, which includes aprons with our restaurant on it, includes recipes. We'll do a Zoom and we'll cook with your whole family.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. So you just got to think differently. You got to get really creative. You got to throw the box away and you got to be transformational. Because these are all transformational questions. And you really got, like I said, step outside of your comfort zone and get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because if people can't come to you, figure out how you can go to them.
So, I mean, for most businesses, as we've touched upon, this isn't going to be the best time to sell. Unless you're in medical products, then probably is a great time to sell. But outside of medical, it's not going to be a good time to sell. However, it's going to be a phenomenal time to buy. And that was one of the other things that you've got a really good framework for, isn't it? About buying businesses and the kind of buyers out there.
Yes, I do. And I'll say a couple of things on that point is, yes, it's not the best time to sell for a lot of industries, specifically hospitality. However, it is a good time to sell for other industries. So in the U.S., I'm not sure about the U.K., but in the U.S., we have businesses that had their best year ever in 2020. And that wasn't just in the medical space. So we had businesses, anything home related, home construction, home renovation, swimming pools, landscape, anything related to the home, home fitness, you know, those businesses are skyrocketing because nobody's traveling. So they're not going out to dinner. They're not traveling. So they're spending more money on their home because that's their nest, you know? And so those industries are doing great. E-commerce is crushing it. You know, so many new e-commerce businesses, so many old e-commerce businesses that have had a huge spike. SaaS businesses, online education, online fitness, any type of products or products that can be sold online are crushing it. Agriculture, crushing it right now. So it just really depends upon the industry. And those industries are the best time to sell right now. And we have several of those industries, businesses for sale in those different verticals and buyers that are buying. The other industries like hospitality, you know, fitness, movie theaters, things of that nature is the worst time to sell. And, you know, hopefully those business owners can hold on or they can figure out a way to get creative and pivot. If not, then they're going to have to sell to probably turnaround specialists. So there are five different types of buyers. Number one, 90% of buyers are first-time buyers. First-time buyers buy small businesses, typically coffee shops, restaurants, you know, laundromats, things that retail, things of that nature. They're very slow to pull the trigger. They need a lot of reassurances to give them comfort level. They have no idea what they should be buying. So it really takes an expert to sit down with them and help them figure out what their passions are, what their core competencies are, and what business is best for them. Because all first-time buyers think they should own a restaurant, and that is not what you should do as a first-time buyer.
So I'll let you into a secret. The first business I bought, restaurant.
Yeah, and restaurants are very tough. I mean, that's probably the toughest industry can possibly be a part of. So we work with our buyers to make sure that you know, they buy a business that's right for them and that they'll be able to do well in and be successful at. So you have the first-time buyers, and then next you have turnaround specialists. So right now we have a gold mine for turnaround specialists because there are so many business distressed assets out there and businesses that are really going down, and turnaround specialists can buy a lot of these businesses with little to no money down. They can buy the businesses by using or leveraging the assets of that company, and then they can go in, fix it, grow it, turn around, sell it for a profit. And then we have PEGs. PEGs are private equity groups. They buy based on two ways. They buy based on platforms or add-ons. Platforms is, let's say, we're dealing with a bunch of platforms right now because we have an agriculture company that's got about $12 million. No, actually $17 million in EBITDA. EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. And so PEGs buy platform or add-on. Platform is, let's say, a PEG wants to get into agriculture and they're not in the agriculture now. They won't even consider an agriculture company unless you have at least $3 to $5 million in EBITDA. An add-on is if they're already in that space and they're buying smaller agricultural companies as an add-on, and they'll look under $1 million of EBITDA. And then you have competitives and strategics. Competitors and strategics are really those buyers that buy synergies. They buy synergies that are going to catapult them to the next level. Like in Exit Rich, we talk about 6 P's. One of the biggest P's is proprietary. So competitors and strategics are always looking for that competitive edge, you know. So they'll buy a contract that maybe they're trying to get into Walmart and they can't get into Walmart, but this company has a contract and has several products in Walmart. So they'll pay more money for that contract just to get their foot in the door with Walmart. And then you have sophisticated entrepreneurs or industry agnostic, and they chase EBITDA. So those are the five different types of buyers.
Now, as we're entering this market, what's the best tips for buying and selling businesses? What would you say your best tips are?
So for selling businesses, what do you want me to start, buying or selling?
Whichever. I mean, start with selling businesses and then we can start with buying, after finish with buying.
So for selling businesses, you know, my best tip has always been, you got to plan your exit. Otherwise, if you don't have a plan, you're just driving around in circles. You're driving up and down the financial hills to end up nowhere, or to end up broke, out of business, filing bankruptcy. And that's not where I want to see anyone end up. So you really need to start your business or buy a business. And this is good for buying a business too, Peter. So if you're going to buy a business or start a business, start with the end in mind. Okay. When you want to drive somewhere in the UK, what do?
You look at the destination, don't you?
You plug in your destination. You pull out your phone. You go to Google. You plug in your destination. You know where you're going. The problem with business owners is they have no destination. They have no idea where they're going. So go ahead.
Why do you think that they don't get the help they need to help work that out at the beginning?
Because a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the United States, have, you know, that type of mentality that, you know, entrepreneurs think they're, a lot of us think we're unstoppable, we're bulletproof, we know everything, you know. A lot of them are control freaks. A lot of them think, well, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. And a lot of them just get busy. They get busy in the day-to-day, the transactional, that they don't really have time to think about the big picture. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many companies I have worked with or partnered with or helped save that are so busy in the day-to-day, they have no time to look for mentors. They have no time to even hire employees, let alone try to find a mentor. So I think that's, you know, some of the biggest issues. But nobody really plans their business with the end in mind because they think they're going to own their business forever. Well, nothing is forever. What goes up must come down. You're either dying or growing. So you know, it's funny to me, Peter, because we have children. I have a daughter. Do you have children?
I do.
And our children, we plan their whole life out for them. We don't let them plan out their life. We plan it for them. We plan where they're going to go to preschool, where they're going to go to kindergarten, where they're going to go to elementary, middle school, high school, college. You know, in some countries, who they're going to marry.
That's true.
We plan how many kids they're going to give us, right? But the most valuable asset in your life, because you can't really sell, or you shouldn't sell your children, but your most valuable asset, which is your business, we don't plan for. It is crazy. And business owners really have to change the mindset, or they're not going to stay in business and they're not going to have a sellable asset. So I tell all business owners, start with the end in mind. What is your destination? What is your end game? What do you want to sell your business for? That's step one. We call it the STGPS exit model and exit rich. So say, okay, I want to sell my business for $20 million. What do we have? Now we have a start of a plan, right, Peter? And now we need to reverse engineer it. So now we need to know step two. Step two, the GPS needs to know, okay, where are you going? Where are you starting from? What is your current location? What is your current evaluation? And I don't know, maybe you're not surprised, Peter, but in the United States, we all get checkups on our body, annual checkups, to make sure our health is good. We drive our car into the shop to make sure that our car is in good health, but we never get a business evaluation. We never get an annual business evaluation checkup.
No, I totally agree with you. And the challenge is, though, is most people chase the wrong metric. Most people go in the business and they chase the sales metric. Let me drive up my revenue. But they don't think about company valuation, which is probably the most important metric there is out there.
It is the most important metric there is out there. And you need to know what that metric is. You need to know what that evaluation is every year, because there are events that will increase your valuation. And there are events like COVID, perfect example, that will decrease your valuation. This is why you need to have an annual business valuation checkup. I'm working with a business that's been in business 45 years. I've never had a business evaluation. It's insanity to me, you know, and most business owners have unrealistic expectations of what they think their company is worth. I mean, do you watch Shark Tank in the UK?
We've got something equivalent, but I have also seen Shark Tank.
Yeah. And how many of those investors say, I don't agree with your valuation? I don't agree with your valuation. Almost every single investor on Shark Tank never agrees with the entrepreneur, the inventor, about what their company evaluation is. So let's say you want to sell your business for $20 million and you know your business is worth $5 million. Great. At least we got a destination. We got where we're starting from. Now we need to know time frame. So let's say we're going to do it in 10 years. Wonderful. Now you need to know who your buyers are going to be. We already talked about the five types of buyers. If you're trying to sell a $20 million company, you're not selling to a first-time buyer, and you're not going to sell to turnaround specialists, right?
So here's a question for you, because most entrepreneurs are never going to think this way. And they'll probably only start thinking about selling a business.
I'm trying to change all of that, Peter. Huh? I'm trying to change the way entrepreneurs think.
But for the people listening in today, how far back do they need to start thinking about getting someone involved to help them get the business ready for sale?
You know, I would say that you should align with an expert M&A advisor to help you plan your exit plan, to help you plan your exit plan, to help you determine where you want to go, where you want to end up at, what time frame, what you're worth today, and then work with that advisor to do an evaluation once a year and say, tell you, okay, well, if you want to sell for $20 million, this is where your gross needs to be. This is where your profit margins need to be. This is where your EBITDA needs to be. And by the way, here's your buyers, and these are the characteristics. These are the synergies you have to build in your infrastructure in which to sell to one of those three buyers that will pay you top dollar for your business. You really should start that day one. What?
So how much time realistically? Yeah, ideally would get them involved in day one. That would be an ideal. As soon as you start a business, let's start with the end in mind. But they don't do that. So realistically, how far out would you recommend they engage in that process?
Yeah, so it really depends upon the industry and it really depends upon the business owner. But I would say right away, I would say the minute you hear this right now, your listeners, they should call an advisor, you know, and they should start this process now. Because even if you say, I don't want to sell my business for 5 years, well, guess what? Something might happen before 5 years, right? And you want to start putting all those pieces of the puzzle in place now, because it could take you 5 years, it could take you 6 years to even build your business with the proper infrastructure. You know, building businesses don't happen overnight. You have to have those six P's. Now, the average time it takes to sell a business in America is about a year, but it just really depends. Is that business in shape to sell? Or do we need to put in all these fixes? You know, we're selling a company for $60 million that doesn't even have policy and procedure manuals. So there's the six P's that we work with our clients. How many of those in which to build the business to run on all six cylinders so that the business is sellable and will sell for top dollar? So the timing just really depends on how many of these six P's that a business owner has in place. Where is the EBITDA? Is the EBITDA under $1 million, over $1 million? And what price do they want to sell for? If they want to sell for $20 million and they're worth $2 million, it's going to take them several years to get there.
So how do you overcome the common objections of I don't have money or I don't have time to invest? Because some
I don't
of
have
you
money,
or
I don't
business,
have time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's often what people will say. Well, I don't have the money right now to invest in this, or I don't have the time because I'm too busy.
Yeah, and my response is typically, my response is always, if you don't have the money, you don't have the time. You can't afford to do it. You can't afford not to do it. You can't afford not to invest the time. You can't afford not to invest the money, because here's the bottom line. If that's where you are, that's where you will always be, unless you get an advisor to help you crawl out of that pit of creating a business that is dependent upon you. We want to create businesses that work for us rather than us working for it. So you can't afford not to.
Hit a lot of people hard, Michelle. Right now, what you've just said will hit a lot of people hard, because a lot of people have scaled back their organizations because of COVID. They haven't had the alternate strategies in place. They've not pivoted. And they're now caught in that space where they need to start thinking, what does an exit and pivot look like? And they're not doing it. And they're probably seeing that business disappear in front of them.
Well, they're going to have to make a quick decision to either sell to a turnaround specialist or merge your business ASAP, or close their doors or file bankruptcy. Really, that's going to be their three choices. Sell for less, close your doors, or file bankruptcy, or merge with someone. Four choices, really. There are lots and lots of buyers out there. There are actually more buyers for good businesses than there are good businesses to buy, especially when you get to the spot of over $1 million in EBITDA. Yeah. Under $1 million in EBITDA, there's not as many buyers, but there's still buyers, especially turnaround specialists.
And then you've got the other bit, the vultures, I call them, that are just waiting for the businesses to be so weak that they go and pick them up for nothing.
Exactly. And that's when they would sell for pennies on the dollar. So that's, yeah. So, and that was happening before COVID. Businesses were being forced into selling for pennies on the dollar, closing their doors or filing bankruptcy because over 70% of businesses are going out of business. So business owners, you know, this might sound harsh, but you got to wake up. We got to wake up. You know, we got to figure it out quickly. We don't have a lot of time to figure it out. And, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities out there versus just selling a business for pennies on the dollar, closing or filing bankruptcy. You know, there are advisors or experts, there's yourself, Peter, that they can align themselves with to get their business in better shape and either stay in business, sell that business, or merge with someone else in the same industry or a similar industry.
Well, I do think that probably some of the topics we've covered today could be a totally different episode on a podcast anyway, because actually they're quite deep and meaningful. If people want to know more about what you do, where do they need to go?
So first and foremost, Peter, I would encourage everyone to go get their copy of Exit Rich. Exit Rich, you can buy it on Amazon. However, we're in the middle of pre-sale. So if you buy it at exitrichbook.com, it's less than Amazon. So for $24.79, we will email you the digital download so you can start reading it today. Plus, we will send a hardcover to your doorstep in the USA. Plus, you get a lifetime membership into the Exit Rich Book Club, where we have video training of me taking deep dives into the GPS exit, the seller's mindset, the seller's sanity check, the five types of buyers, the six P's, valuations, creating a bidding war, selling your business for more, negotiations, closing, etc. And we also have all the documents you need to run a business or sell a business. So a lot of clients are like, well, Michelle, I've never seen an organizational chart or an employee handbook or non-compete. Our business owners are like, I have no idea what a sample LOI, letter of intent, looks like, a purchase agreement, our closing docs, our due diligence checklist. All of this documentation is available at Exit Rich Book Club, not only for your review, but for your download. This is over $25,000 of legal documents that you would have to spend to recreate this. Plus, we also give 30-day membership into Club CEOs, all for $24.79.
Yeah, unbelievable value. How about the people out there? Because I've got a lot of clients and a lot of entrepreneurs out there are dyslexic. They don't read books, but they listen to books. Is it going to be available in audio?
It will, but not after. It will not be available in audio till after the book launch.
Okay.
Till after the book launch. But call me. I'll read it to you.
You know, that could be another option.
And then they can, and then Peter, your listeners can also text Exit Rich to 888-526-5750.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today. If you were to have a parting comment for the audience, what would it be?
My parting comment would be never give up, you know. I know people get paranoid with, not paranoid, that was the wrong word, petrified and paralyzed, you know, with what's going on right now, but never give up. Well, there's a will, there's a way, and there's opportunity all around us. There's people like you, there's people like me that are really passionate about saving small business in the United States, in the UK, and call us. You know, when you're in your fog, it's foggy. So it's really hard to see what you need to do next. A lot of times you need an outsider's perspective to really help you ask the right questions, come up with solutions, pivot, think differently. You know,
you're so right about that. It's never giving up, but don't be afraid to reach out. Yeah. A phone call, a conversation doesn't cost anything, and it can change everything.
That's right. And, you know, Peter, also, well, you know, people can call me. I'll do a 15-minute consultation with no charge whatsoever. And, you know, it's my mission, my passion, like I said, to help as many business owners survive and thrive as I possibly can. So they do have a sellable asset and they can enjoy the fruits of their labor.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Michelle. Well, if anything we spoke about today resonates with you, head over to Bulka.com and get in touch. Once again, thank you so much, Michelle, for sharing your wisdom on today's episode. And remember, folks, failing to learn is learning to fail.